welcome you to this evening's festival and feast. I'm going to read one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the study of the transcendental science, the preliminary book is the Bhagavad Gita, and more advanced is Srimad Bhagavatam. But because you're such an advanced group, I'm going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam, like the Bhagavad Gita, is considered to be an incarnation of Krishna himself, not different from the Lord himself. And just as Krishna is unlimited, Srimad Bhagavatam is unlimited, every verse is unlimited, and so we can discuss even one verse for unlimited time. But we will not do that tonight. It couldn't fit in tonight. But we'll speak a little, and I'll stay on, because we have our schedule. But I will stay on, and I'd be happy to meet with any or all of you at your will during the course of the evening. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service. So please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sanskrit, the sound of the Sanskrit, every verse is a mantra, and so just the sound itself is purifying. Ayur Arati Vai Pamsam Pudyan Astam Chayam Asau Tasyar Te Yakshano Nitta Uttama Shloka Bhartaya. Ayur Harati Vai Pumsam Gudyan Astam Chayan Asau Tasyarte Yakshano Nitta Uttama Shloka Vartaya. Translation. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Both by rising and by setting,
both by rising and by setting,
the sun decreases the duration of life.
The sun decreases the duration of life.
Of everyone.
Of everyone.
Except. One who utilizes the time.
One who utilizes the time.
By discussing topics. Of the all good personality of Godhead.
Of the all good personality of Godhead.
Report by Srila Prabhupada. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. Every living entity, that means you and me and every other living being, has an eternal relationship with God. We are individual souls, jivatma, and we have, each and every one of us has a unique individual eternal relationship with the Supreme Soul. And that relationship can be revived by Bhakti Yoga. And the first item in the practice of Bhakti Yoga is, the first two, say, are hearing and chanting, shravana, kirtana. And therefore, our life is meant, the time of our life, the duration of our life, is meant to be used in that activity. And it's very subtle, because every one in the material world is engaged in speaking and listening. Some people find the process of Bhakti Yoga to be so subtle, they wonder how it could even be effective. But the process does not require doing things different from what everyone does. It requires only that we change the subject. So everyone is speaking about something. Everyone is hearing about something. But the speaking and hearing of ordinary people, of mundane topics, binds them to the material world. And as long as we are in the material world, we have to suffer. Sometimes people say, well, what's wrong with material life? What's the problem if I stay in material existence? Well, all right, but do you like disease? You like old age? You like death? That's what material existence involves. Do you like the miseries caused by other people? The miseries caused by your own body and mind? The miseries caused by acts of nature? No. So people think that they can enjoy, but that enjoyment, if you want to call it enjoyment, is mixed with suffering. But as Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, beyond this material world, there is another world where life is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, where there is no more repetition of birth and death. And one can attain to that realm through the process of Bhakti Yoga. But again, it's subtle, because we're not doing any gymnastics, physical gymnastics or mental gymnastics. We're sitting, we're talking, we're listening. But the subject is different, And it is the difference of the subject that makes all the difference. So, to continue the purport, this verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life. There are so many different species of life, but it's a special prerogative of the living entity in the human form of life, because he has added intelligence, that he can realize God, he can realize his own real identity and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Soul. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. So this is practical. It illustrates how valuable every moment is. Because when the time of death arrives, we cannot make a bargain. We can't negotiate, oh, I'll give you $100 or $1,000 or $100,000 or $1,000,000. Give me one more minute. You can't. If your time is up, your time is up. And no amount of money can buy you another minute. And can't buy back a minute that you've wasted. Wasted means outside of the real value of life. One devotee in Phoenix was telling me how Vaisheshika Prabhu, who's one of our spiritual leaders, had said that every round now we have these chanting beads. How many of you know about chanting beads? How many of you have chanting beads? How many of you chant on your chanting beads? So he was saying that every round you chant becomes part of your spiritual credit. So 10 minutes for a round is comfortable for most people. So that means if you have 10 minutes and you use that to chant one round, you are increasing your spiritual bank balance. And that same 10 minutes, if frittered away, you cannot buy it back for any amount of money. It's gone. So this devotee was saying how it's always in his mind, 10 minutes, or if I can squeeze out 10 minutes, I can chant one round. That will add to my spiritual credits, my spiritual thing. Yeah. So we should think like that. We should be very careful how we use our time. Because that's what our life is. It consists of our time, and you can't buy it back, and you can't buy more of it. Now, how is it that by the rising and setting, the sun decreases the life, duration of life of everyone? That we can understand. Except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. How does that work? The answer is that we have our eternal relationship with God, and so the passing of time in this life, if utilized properly, will bring us closer to our eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, it's not bringing us closer to death, but it's bringing us closer to eternal life. In fact, we are being liberated from this realm of birth and death and entering the eternal abode. So I'll move along here because of time. But I will stay on to discuss further. Now listen to this portion of the purport because it's very subtle. But you are very subtle people, so I'm sure you'll catch it. The materialistic way of pious activities like charity is recommended in the Smriti Shastras. So in the realm of karma, there are pious activities that bring material happiness to us, and there are impious activities that bring material miseries to us. And then there are transcendental activities of bhakti yoga that liberate us completely from the actions and reactions of karma and bring us to our real life, blissful life. As quoted by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in the next life. Such charity is recommended to be given to a Brahmin. A Brahmin means a spiritual person. He has spiritual duties, essentially. If the money is given in charity to a non-Brahmin, without Brahminical qualifications, but who's known as a Brahmin. In India, they have the caste system. So someone can be known as a Brahmin because he's born of Brahmin parents, but he doesn't have the real qualifications of a Brahmin. If the money is given in charity to someone without Brahminical qualifications, and that doesn't necessarily mean someone born in a Brahmin family, it could mean anyone without Brahminical qualifications, the money is returned in the next life in the same proportion. So whatever you give in charity to someone, you get that much back in the next life, if the person is not qualified in any way to receive it. Still, you get it back in the next life. If it is given in charity to a half-educated Brahmin, even then the money is returned double. It's not a bad investment. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified Brahmin, the money is returned 100 and 1,000 times.
That's off the charts.
And if the money is given to a Veda Paraga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, it is returned by unlimited multiplication. Now, what does that mean, the Veda Paraga in the Bible? Well, yes, it's here, but in the course. The ultimate end of Vedic knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Sarvaya Aham Eva Vedyo. In other words, the goal of Vedic knowledge is Krishna, and he's the goal of our life. So if you give money in charity who knows that goal and the means to attain that goal, then that charity is returned in unlimited multiplications. In other words, it cannot be returned to you in this earthly sphere. I mean, it can be, but it cannot be fully returned in the earthly sphere because it's unlimited. And so the result is that you get your reward in your eternal relationship with Krishna. Similarly, now here's the relevance to our present situation. Similarly, a moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. So that's why we have these gatherings, to chant and hear about the glories of the Lord. And even a moment engaged in that activity will guarantee the fulfillment of all of your desires. I mean, we all want love, but we're frustrated in the pursuit of love in the material world. Well, we have two great needs. One is to love, and the other is to be loved. And neither of those can be fulfilled on the bodily platform. They can only be fulfilled in a spiritual relationship. And because all living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, so if you develop your relationship with the Supreme Soul, Krishna, Bhakti Yoga, then automatically you have love for all the individual souls. And your loving propensity, that need, natural needs, intrinsic need to love and be loved, will be fulfilled. In other words, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life, and we don't like old age and disease, generally. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. I just received a message about a devotee, South Africa who was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, they're performing tests to get more information. But that devotee has become very serious about taking shelter of Krishna, much more so than ever before. So sometimes what appears to be a reversal in the material sense can actually be a positive development in the spiritual life. There's a story, there are others with a similar message, but I'll quote this one. There was a, let's say, a farmer, a wise farmer, who had two horses. So one of the horses escaped and ran out into the forest. So all the neighbors came to the wise farmer and said, "Oh, how terrible. One of your horses is lost." He said, "Maybe yes, maybe no." So then his son went out to find that lost horse. And he didn't find that one, but found two others. They brought back the two other horses. And all the neighbors came and said, "Oh, how wonderful. You lost one horse, but now you've got two." He said, "Maybe yes, maybe no." So one of those new horses was a little wild. And while the farmer's son was trying to break in that horse, the horse threw the son. And the son broke his arm. So all the neighbors came and said, "Oh, how terrible. Your son has broken his arm." The wise farmer said, "Maybe yes, maybe no." So then the king's soldiers came to get the farmer's son into the army. He was of age to be inducted into the army. So they came and they saw that he had a broken arm and he was useless for the army. So they let him go. So all the neighbors came and said, "Oh, how wonderful." And the wise farmer said, "Maybe yes, maybe no." So we don't really know what's, in the long run, what's good for us and what's not. Something that seems to be a reversal may actually have a beneficial effect. And similarly, something that seems to be beneficial may have an adverse effect. But in Krishna consciousness, everything is good. By the attitude of Krishna consciousness, it doesn't really matter what happens, because the devotee in Krishna consciousness sees how that situation can be used to develop in Krishna consciousness, and therefore even such impediments to material enjoyment, inevitable impediments such as disease and old age, that can be an impetus to a devotee in Krishna consciousness. So, of all the processes, now chanting and hearing is best done in an assembly like this, gathering. And people gather anyway for all sorts of purposes, so we gather for this purpose. But of all the different processes of Bhakti Yoga, the most essential, which can be done by anyone at any time, under any circumstance, is to chant the holy name of Krishna, and especially the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And those of you who have beads know how to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But you can do that anytime, anywhere, in any circumstance. And especially, if we practice, we'll be able to chant at the time of death. And if we chant at the time of death, in Krishna consciousness, in God consciousness, then we go to Krishna. So it requires practice. So we can practice now chanting one mantra. Actually, the benefit of chanting even one mantra is immense. There are so many statements that just by chanting, not even one whole mantra, by chanting one name, one can destroy the reactions to more sins than one can commit. But there's also a question of the quality of the chanting. But even then, as we've been reading, there's so much benefit. So please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Very good. So, is there a there it is. Okay. So, I guess we do we have time for any questions now, or we'll move along and we'll just speak later. So, yes, thank you for coming and joining and listening so patiently and attentively. And now we will have Arti, which involves this very same chanting and dancing, and then feast. That's also very transcendental. So, without further ado, Hare Krishna.